deal and the values that he promised to save the soul of America. Those policies and executive orders that are being contemplated are the opposite of saving the soul of America. And we will say again, if they move forward with those only deterrence policies that, as we all mentioned and have seen, are reflecting of former President Trump and his administration and Stephen Miller, those will become the legacy of President Biden. And as we said before, history will really judge harshly those outcomes. So again, we call on President Biden to center any decisions at the U.S.-Mexico border into dignity, compassion, fairness, and human lives. So we continue to push back on those ideas. We'll continue to coordinate and collaborate and say thank you to those who are standing on the right side of history. And we are asking President Biden to do the right thing and make sure that we follow policies that will save lives. Amy, this past week we had a
woman from Jamaica. We're going to leave it there, Geraldine Joseph, but continue to cover this issue, of course, Executive Director of the Haitian Bridge Alliance. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland, volunteer-powered community radio.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio during this special programming campaign, All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 3. This February and March, you will hear different marathons and series, all brought to you by our talented programmers. If you'd like to help KBOO reach our $22,000 goal by March 16th, go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to the number 44321 right now. We thank you and you're welcome.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I am one of your hosts, Althea Billings, and I am very glad to be joined today by a special guest host. Look, Tammy's sick, you guys. Everybody send Tammy good wishes. Usually she's the one doing the intro. Again, I'm off my beaten path here, but I am joined by an incredible KBOO producer, icon, I would say, the award-winningest audio producer I know. Sorry to hype you up so much. If you ever listen to on Monday's LTAR, Let's Talk About Race, executive producer of that program, Lenita Duke is here with me. Hi.
Hi, Althea. And I just want to point out that you are also an award-winning producer on Let's Talk About Race, as well as our entire Let's Talk About Race crew.
Shout out Cecil is also
Cecil, we have Mary Lee in Texas, we have Professor Johnson, and Nia Gray, who put the money up to start Let's Talk About Race, and she's in Pittsburgh, a faith reporter.
Kind of all around the country is the energy of that show. But we can talk a little bit more about it for people to check out later. But this is The Gap, Friday talk radio. We like to do a two-parter type of show. In the first half, we'll either do an interview or a news roundup. Then at the halfway point of the show, we open up the phone lines for our community question, where you, the listener, can turn Alchemy-like into a caller and let us know what you think. Today, we're doing a news roundup where we're getting, Lenita, your take on some recent events. I'm so excited to have you here. I'm like, I mean, I don't know that we've done, we haven't done a show like this.
We do
a lot of pre-produced stuff.
We do.
Yeah. Well, we can jump into the news. I mean, I guess, how are you doing? Sorry.
Oh, I'm doing very well. Very well. Thank you for inviting me. And if people knew the many times I've asked you to do things from a production end, they would understand why when you requested something of me, I wanted to be reciprocal.
It was very kind. Lenita said, I'll do it for you. And I was like, all right, call it in favors. I love it.
Well, you know, and working with producers, you know, we work in the creative realm too. Yeah. And sometimes you can get an epiphany and say, hey, I want to do this. Let's try it. And you always say, yeah, let's do it.
Get on the phone. Let's make it happen.
Let's make
right
it
now.
Happen.
Well, let's get into some local goings on, shall we? I was thinking of starting with the Portland Public Schools Albina Vision Trust story. This happened earlier this week. The school board voted on kind of like the next step for them to hand over the enormous PPS headquarters building off of on the east side of the Broadway Bridge.
North Dixon Street.
Yeah, to give that to Albina Vision Trust for redevelopment, which is like, oh, cool. I didn't know about how terrible and horrible this building was.
Oh, yeah. If you want to see a horrible building, go to the Portland Public Schools. If you want a poor education, go to the Portland Public Schools. You want to read below grade level? Go to the Portland Public Schools. How's your math doing? Below grade level. You're from the Portland Public Schools. You don't teach teachers with respect and dignity, it's Portland Public Schools. You have a history of institutional racism, it's the Portland Public Schools. I could go on and on.
It's all on the tin there. It's you and I were discussing this a little bit yesterday of the process that Albina Vision Trust had to go through to get this to happen. It sounds like it was a lot of hand-holding, a lot of greasing the wheels, because you know what it made me think of is, it's one thing to have a good idea, it's another thing to get people to like your idea and say yeah, totally. It's another thing to make it happen. And I think that, you know, they commissioned a study about how expensively terrible this building is. They did a survey of all the other real estate, and you know, because the commercial real estate's so bad right now, all the other places that PPS could move to, and they're like, it's cost neutral, we'll do it for you, we'll talk to the realtors, we'll do all of these things in order to make that happen for redevelopment, because it is, I mean, it's an eyesore, it breaks up the neighborhood.
Well, the Portland Public School has been at the forefront of breaking up that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that an organization set up, and I got love for the Albina Trust when I say this. You have an organization set up as a result of historical gentrification.
Yeah.
Helping an organization that helped promote historical gentrification. And I know that many people don't know this, but in the 1980s, there was a school boycott in the black community against the Portland Public Schools. Mm. They had a busing program called the Schools of the 70s program that bused black children out of their neighborhood schools to white schools in the interest of desegregation, right?
Right.
And I'll never forget, the boycott happened the day after Mount St. Helens blew.
Oh. So big day for the region.
It was a big day for the region. And what was really wonderful, you had all these African-American children staying home, and a lot of white parents also kept their children home.
Hmm.
That was a beautiful day for Portland. And it was also on the birthday of Malcolm X. It was May 19th, 1980.
Whoa.
It's funny how you remember all those things.
They're all lined up like that.
And now you have chunk of change given to this organization, Albina Trust, ran by some wonderful people,
mm-hmm.
to sort of help the Portland Public Schools out
yeah.
in their dilemma. But I don't believe that the Portland Public Schools are having difficulty finding a new location. For one, they own a lot of real estate.
That's true.
And there's has always been the scuttlebutt that they wanted to move the administration offices from that raggedy building to Jefferson High School.
Uh-huh.
And now they're remodeling, Jeff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of student decline. Enrollment is on the decline.
Right.
Look at this beautiful building in a gentrified neighborhood
mm.
that we helped gentrify.
Right.
And then we're going to give our raggedy building, which is on a lot of real estate.
Yeah, but I mean, right on the river there,
right off on the interstate. River, to build apartments.
Yeah.
But apartments are apartments. You don't build family wealth with apartments.
Hmm, yeah. That's
you don't develop equity with apartments.
Right, right. There is still, it's still not the same as what was there
right.
prior to, which was people's houses.
People's homes know? Where they could build equity and right. pass it on to their children.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I also understand it as, you know, that in terms of addressing the housing crisis, you have to plug in housing of all types
mm-hmm.
because part of the issue right now is that, you know, even people that with a different amount of, you know, things on the market, they could be buying a house, but right now houses are so inflated in price that they continue to rent, even though they probably could afford a, you know, a down payment and be paying that into a mortgage and building equity instead. They're still in renting. And then that also like fills up all of the rental market, increases that because they have the ability to pay and, you know, pushes out, you know, all of these different levels. But I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And I shared with you when I ran for city council back mm-hmm. in, I forgot, 100 years ago, I wanted the city to help people build tiny houses in their backyards.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, you're kind of like,
I was way ahead. I know, I was way ahead of my time.
Well, we got to pay attention to what you're saying now, because in 10 years, people are going to be like, hey, hang on.
Let's help these people. And, you know, the idea that I had was that the city would fund a bunch of construction trainees to learn how to build these tiny houses. Mm-hmm. And they would put them in the backyards of people, and it would give middle-class folks, women who own their property,
mm-hmm.
a way to generate revenue. For seniors, I would have a case manager hired to help them screen
yeah.
their applicants, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I had this whole thing built in my head to generate, to kill two birds with one stone. One, mm-hmm. you're increasing the inventory of affordable housing.
Right.
And two, you're helping people stay in their home.
Right.
There's a lot of talk about helping the houseless, which is great. But I wanted to hear more talk about helping people keep their homes.
Right. That's one of the key steps in, like, you know, it, because it all feeds into each other.
It does.
And
it
people
really
being
does.
Able to afford their mortgage, build more equity, like that's, you
and
know.
Pass it on to your children and hopefully their children's children. And when you need money, you can refinance.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time in Portland, Oregon, and I was born and raised here, and it was so redlined that the banks would not give you any money to refinance your home, but they would give you money to buy a car.
Hmm.
And so that's why the real estate market in inner Northeast Portland was so artificially deflated.
Right.
And then when real estate agents took a look at it, they said, oh, this is right in our backyard.
Right.
And I thought the biggest crime done to black folks in Portland, and we did this to ourselves, was that making us afraid of our own neighborhood.
Hmm.
And that was during the crack cocaine epidemic, and it was rough. You know, we would have a killing every week.
Wow.
We would have a crack house on every block.
Hmm.
And people who fought and saved coming up here from the south to work in the shipyards and the railroads, and they bought a house.
Right.
They came out of Vanport, bought a house, to see that family wealth dissipated
yeah.
because of crack cocaine. It's devastating to see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we have this situation here. They just didn't pop up out of nowhere.
Right, right. It's all been cooking for years and years. And I think that, you know, people may be aware of the last 10 years of right. of the trajectory, but you know,
but if, yeah, you go back to the 80s, and that's why, let's talk about race. We're currently researching a show called How Ronald Reagan Destroyed America.
Yep.
That's our next show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have Cecil moderate that bad
yeah,
boy.
Yeah. Hi, Cecil, if you're listening.
Yeah, hi, Cecil.
Hope you knew that you were moderating.
Surprise!
Yeah, exactly.
Surprise. But I'm also encouraged that in Congress, there are people talking about prohibiting large corporations and private equity firms from purchasing family homes to increase the inventory. Yeah, and that's another show I want to do, how private equity is destroying America.
Well, I mean,
it's two shows.
That's write it down.
Write it down.
No, there's some crazy statistic I saw recently about just how much real estate BlackRock owns.
Oh, yeah.
And that they're like, oh, hey, you are thinking of buying your house? Mm-hmm. We'll buy it. And then you sort of just are paying us the mortgage.
Yeah, you can rent it forever, and they'll never fix it up. They won't pay. Back in the day, I used to be a landlord, and landlords had to pay the water bill and the garbage bill. BlackRock buys the property that you have to pay that as a renter now. And that's so unfair. So your rent, $600-$700, you wish it was that cheap.
Right.
Your rent, $1,500-$1,600 on top of paying the garbage and the water bill.
Yeah.
Which is why having a tiny home, a tiny house in your backyard.
Back on the tiny home.
I'm telling you, a great idea. I was just too far ahead of my time.
Yeah, yeah.
Way before.
Well, let's go to our next topic here.
Okay.
Speaking of, you know, Portland legacy, a certain former mayor, Sam Adams, is apparently mulling a run for Multnomah County Commission, and I guess he's got an attorney on retainer to say that, to try to, you know, relitigate how he was either he either resigned or was fired from the mayor's office last year, and saying like, oh, I didn't get fired, and then Mayor Wheeler is being really mean to me by saying that I got fired.
I thought they were homeboys.
Yeah, right. Sam Adams back in the mix. What do you think about all that?
Well, it's my understanding, just from, you know, the scuttlebutt, he got fired because women complained about his behavior.
Yeah.
So you're going to send a guy who talks smack to women, that's disrespectful to women, to work with the organization ran by women, Multnomah County. Leadership is all female now. And whatever you think about the job they're doing, they are in charge of the delivery of social service in the city of Portland and Gresham.
Right.
And Troutdale. In all of Multnomah County.
Right.
So you're going to bring a guy in who talks smack to women that, again, doesn't respect them, to work with them and expect voters to vote for him.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that occurred to me, right, is that I think that there is at least an awareness in Portland that we have a lot of longstanding problems.
Mm-hmm.
Multnomah County has a lot of longstanding problems. He's been around for a lot of those and perhaps had his hand in the in the pot as to why those things happened.
Yeah, he used to be number one for Vera Katz, right?
Yeah.
When she was mayor.
Back in, what is that, 2008? I mean, he was mayor in 2009.
Back for Vera Katz,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you got to go way back.
Yeah.
Not that far back, but far enough. But Sam Adams has been around, and he's part of that old boy network, right?
Yeah.
And that's how he keeps getting these jobs,
these
really good, high-paying jobs, working with other human beings. And I think that's where his issue is, working with other human beings.
Right.
And I know human beings can be harsh,
sure,
and difficult,
sure,
and irrational,
sure,
but you got to kind of work with him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just remembering that, so he was the aide to Vera Katz, cough housing crisis started there. Cough. He was the mayor. He didn't get reelected because of the underage sex scandal.
I forgot about the sex scandal.
Which, if Tammy was here, that's what she would be talking about.
Good
she
for said, Tammy. We miss you, Tammy.
We miss you, Tammy.
We want to hear about the sex scandal.
Yeah, please. So there's that. Then he is basically run out of town. He goes to D.C. He's working in nonprofits. Mayor Wheeler gets elected. He can't get anything done. He brings Sam Adams back as
old boy network. Old boy network.
Yeah, thank you. To try to facilitate the. You know what else is Sam Adams' idea? The mass homeless encampments.
Oh, okay.
That was a leaked memo from him to have the National Guard staffing forced encampments of like 2,000 people was his initial pitch.
Well, if Trump gets elected, he was just, you know, talking about what a lot of people think would solve the homeless problem. They're not talking about
not housing first.
Not talking about increasing inventory of housing supply for people that are on SSI.
Right.
I think the SSI standard now is $934.
That's it
if you're on SSI. And if you worked all your life, you're on social, and you hurt yourself.
Right.
Social Security disability.
Right.
And thanks to Ronald Reagan, people like me cannot retire until we're in darn near 70 to retire, or because Social Security expects you to die, right, before you are able to live long enough to apply for Social Security. And don't be a man of color, because if you're a man of color, you die sooner. So all the money you work and
paid into the system,
right, you don't live long enough to benefit from it. So I think black men should get Social Security at 30.
Whoa, okay.
Because they die, bless their hearts. And I'm saying, you know, people, my relatives and stuff,
yeah,
they die so young.
Right. Is this the thing 10 years from now people are going to be saying, and you're like, I told you in 2024.
I know. Miss Duke told you, yeah. Ronald Reagan destroyed America along with private equity firms. He changed the rules so that BlackRock could come in here and take over industries.
Yeah.
I mean, have you been to the vet yet? You know how expensive it is to go to the vet? And private equity has taken over vet services.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard that it's like impossible to get an appointment.
It's impossible to get an appointment. And if you get lucky enough to get an appointment, $500 or $600. And you're looking at your pet saying, I sure hope you're worth it. And of course they defecate on you and say, yes, we are. Yes, we are. I said, okay. I guess you are.
We were talking about Sam Adams.
Yeah. How did it turn back into defecating with your pets?
Well,
and you're worth it. Well, let's go back to Sam Adams.
Okay, please.
He's part of the old boy network.
Yeah.
He gets these good jobs that he's not necessarily qualified for.
Mm.
It's because of who he knows. And if you look at his judgment, that's the issue. He was mayor. He got involved in a sex scandal with an underage individual.
Right, alleged.
Which should have been his private business. But you're the mayor. You could be blackmailed.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a presidential candidate that has some Russian connections who could be blackmailed because of his behavior.
Right, sure.
So going back to Sam Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his judgment, he's now working in the joint office between the county and the city, right?
Mm.
That's where he was working.
I think, yeah, he was helping with some of that stuff before he got fired.
And he was disrespectful to women. And women are the ones, the office assistants are the ones that do all the work.
Mm.
The analysis, the people that, the case managers, the meetings they have, Multnomah County, service delivery, is ran by women.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, of the people that like reported him for this, deputy city attorney, like leaving a meeting with him, like in tears because he was so like condescending and
rude. I bet
you
wasn't black because I ain't leaving no meeting in tears.
Yeah.
You coming with me. And leave in tears. Bless her heart. That's what old folks in the South, oh, bless their hearts. Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah.
So, and that just illustrates the judgment this individual has.
Right.
And he's only using the Multnomah County position to elevate himself so he can jump off to another political election. Maybe he wants to come back to the city.
Right, because, I mean, I think there was talk of him thinking of a city council run as well, because we're going to have a big city council. But his influence would be so much reduced there, right, because there's going to be 12 city councilors. What do you think of this whole thing that he's pursuing of trying to sort of relitigate whether he got fired or he resigned to go get some fresh air on the coast?
Well, I would do the same thing. If I'm disrespectful to women, if I get caught, if I get complained about, I'm going to go to the coast and get some fresh air. But I'm not a white male. For me, it would be an anchor on me for the rest of my life. But here you're a white male. You know these guys. Hey, Sam, why don't you come do this? You know?
Yeah. Why don't you
have an idea. Why don't you have the National Guard come out here and take some empty land the city owns? And let's take all those homeless people and put them there with tents and have them guarded at night.
You're sort of embodying the Portland Business Alliance?
Yes. Is he a plant?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think he has, like, good name recognition? I mean, that's maybe...
Not based on what you just ran down.
Oh, okay. So, no.
Not based on what you just said, Althea. I mean, I'm still stuck on the sex scandal. And it's amazing how quickly I forgot that. Yeah. But now that you brought it up, that's all I can think about. It's a sex scandal.
Well, I mean, and
with an underage youth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, allegedly, it began when he was 17.
But. Yeah, but he's the mayor now.
Yeah.
You know, you want to take all your underage sex scandals and kind of put them away and not bring them up, but somehow it got brought
up. Some would say don't do it to begin with.
Well, that would stop a lot of sex scandals if you make sure they're over 18.
Sure.
Or better yet, if you're in Florida.
What's going on?
And you're on the school board and you have all these same-sex sex. How are we talking about this?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Oh, well, in summary, try not to be a hypocrite.
Oh, sure.
And Sam Adams is a hypocrite.
Sure.
Another hypocrite is that lady who was on the school board in Florida that helped get rid of all those different book bans.
Uh-huh.
And she herself had a same-sex sex tape.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess...
Can I say, you know, there's nothing that I feel we, the consumer, eat up like finding out that somebody's a hypocrite, you know? It really just gets the blood flowing. Hey.
But how come it doesn't work with Donald Trump? He's Teflon, like Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan destroyed America, and now Donald Trump is going to destroy America.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that...
And Sam Adams will destroy Multnomah County. Okay. He'll use it. Let's go back to Sam Adams. He'll use it for his own political aspirations.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. Wheeler, I always thought he wanted to be governor.
I think that's
not
true.
But he could not solve City of Portland problems.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that he's not running, you know, because what people have pointed to, and I don't know if he could win again, but that this new version of the mayor that we're going to see starting next year is much more suited to Wheeler's kind of talents, which is not necessarily the political maneuvering on council, but the administrative side of things, which is, you know, going to be much more what the mayor is up to.
Well, Wheeler used to work for Multnomah County. He was executive or something like that. And they said he was a fairly decent one, especially after all the cuts that Multnomah County during the 2000s went through. They went through a major retraction of social service. And, of course, the problems never went away.
Yeah.
They just magnified.
Yeah, he was county commissioner, then he was state treasurer, then he's mayor.
Right, so he's a political animal.
Yeah.
And yet the one thing that he couldn't solve was the issue we have of houselessness, bringing Portland back economically.
Yeah.
Which is going back to my tiny house in every backyard. That could solve a lot of problems. Tiny house in your backyard.
Well, we're gonna go to our community question here in just a moment. I just want to do a quick plug to let you know what's going on this weekend, right? KBOO, we're in the All Thrills, No Frills Volume 3 special programming. We just lined up a bunch of fun stuff for a month for the listeners. And this Saturday, tomorrow, is the Soul and R&B Marathon. So, you know, tune in. All your favorite people Thank you for the drums. All your favorite hosts of that genre are going to be on for most of the afternoon. So, you know, lots to look forward to there. If you are enjoying the special programs, consider supporting KBOO, kboo.fm/give. Are you ready to take a quick musical break and we'll come back for the community question?
Yes, I am.
All right. This is The Gap on KBOO. We'll be back. We're here. Wonderful. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. I'm Althea. I am joined today by special guest host Lenita Duke. Are you ready for our community question portion of the program?
I am, yes.
And this question was your idea, actually. So we would love for you to call, to message us in any way that you would like about the question. What could we do to revitalize Portland's economy?
I start talking about a tiny home in everyone's backyard.
Right. That's, again, the tiny home idea is pretty major. But we would love to know what you think. What could we do to revitalize Portland's economy? 503-231-8187 is the number. You can chat with us on the website, kboo.fm. On the bottom right part of the homepage, there is the chat with us button. You can also message us on Instagram. At The Gap Radio, we'd love to know what you think. What can we do to revitalize the economy? Lenita's talked about tiny homes.
In everyone's backyard. In addition, to have a parallel home maintenance training program to teach people how to build these tiny homes.
Yeah.
So you're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
You have an apprenticeship program teaching construction skills.
Yeah.
And then you have the tiny
great.
Home. And
so there's a lot of building to do.
It is. Well, that's how you revitalize Portland. What
right.
do you think should
well,
happen?
Well, here's let me pitch you this, and I want to get your take on it, right? Governor Kotek, over the summer and fall, convened 45 people in one meeting, which, again, we do like to say is a lot of people, to come up with their plans for what could we do to revitalize Portland. And they said tax breaks for big companies. Specifically, and it's not even specifically ones that are not based here, but like they're saying we gotta ease up on Bank of America, we gotta ease up on, you know, they need 3 years no taxes.
Don't say Wells Fargo. They're the worst company, worst bank in the world.
Just a little bit of Wells Fargo slander. I love it. Well, we have Edie on the line. Hi Edie, how you doing?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're on the air.
I would like to have us work on having statewide, preferably, but if not that, Multnomah County public bank, instead of us wasting all of our money on going out of state and out of the country for interest and everything, keep it in and apply it here.
Mm.
I'd like us to have community land banks or community land trusts so that if we are not getting taxes from the land, and we're not having enough people who can afford housing. The reason why we're homeless is because we're not holding government and corporations accountable to pay living wage jobs with security, reliable hours and benefits and a safe working environment that's not going to disable you. We're not holding banks and landlords accountable to only charge livable rents. And we're not holding the utilities accountable for not polluting and killing people and charging appropriate fees. So then if we have public owned of Bonneville Power and the local distribution and substations, then we don't have to pay a whole lot of money going out of state to have frack gas and coal, but that we have conservation here and we're not overcharging residents and undercharging or not charging big corporate wastes. I would like this to make sure that Google, NSA, Facebook, the drone companies, et cetera, up and down the gorge are not wasting our money and endangering the lives of the whole planet and adding all that heat for climate catastrophes that they don't pay the cost for. I would like us to get rid of so-called natural, very unnatural, used methane and 32 other toxic gases that even if the pipelines and the stoves and the water heaters are turned off, are still continually releasing toxins that endanger our health and safety. Then I'd like us to have a better use of our protection of our topsoil. It's taken millions of years to create some of the best food-growing areas in the world, and we're destroying it with cheap housing that is overpriced. And then while we are protecting our topsoil, we have to also have those natural areas that everyone's, you know, has a right to within so many distance of their front door, and everyone has a front door by having the tiny house, by having a community land trust. The land is owned by the nonprofit or the public, and the house and the improvements on that is owned by the individuals. They only pay taxes on that,
right.
And it can only be sold left for a dollar, and it has to stay with people who are low income. Right now, we're giving out so much money for Home Forward, et cetera, to be building housing, while they're charging higher and higher rents and getting rid of the poor people so they get more funding. They don't have to follow the rules for...
Yeah, there's like the expiration on those.
And not only that, but they're not even being safe. They're not good, safe designs. And they're not environmentally appropriate, and they're harming everybody, costing everybody costs more. If we hold the police accountable, we're not wasting most of our budget on them and on settlements and on attorneys to bully the victims. And instead, we can put the money into what really does create safe communities, public safety and public health.
Well,
and so
Edie, thank you so much for all of that. It's extremely comprehensive. I appreciate it. We got other callers, so I'm going to have to pivot off of this, but I appreciate you highlighting that. Thank you so much for calling. And it seems that we have Doug on the line. Doug, how you doing? Hey Doug, you're on the air. If you can hear us, say hey. If not, consider calling back. What do you think about all that?
I think Edie's plan was quite comprehensive.
Yeah.
And she also agrees with tiny houses.
Call in about tiny houses and we're excited about it. We're talking about what could we do to revitalize Portland's economy. Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Doug, it seems that we lost you. Please call back. We would love to hear your thoughts on all that.
I also liked how Edie talked about keeping the money in the community.
Yeah.
And you have all these large corporations. I don't know why people thinks tax cuts to large corporations work, because they don't.
Right.
They only benefit the CEO and their shareholders.
Right. I did force Lenita to do some deep tax investigation the other week.
Althea asked us to do a show on taxes. We did a show on taxes, and that's where I got reacquainted with Ronald Reagan's policies, and right. Ronald Reagan destroyed America. I don't know why people love him so.
Yeah, well.
This goes back to Trump. Why are they idolizing this guy?
Yeah, well, the being shiny and white and, you know, telling people what to do. They like that kind of thing. We're talking about what could we do to revitalize Portland's economy. Let us know. You can message us on the website. You can give us a call, please. 503-231-8187. Doug, you're back. Hi, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, I just wanted to jump in with the bank thing. I think that's a great idea. I think your show's a great idea. You guys do a fantastic job. What I'd like to see added to that is I'd like to see an insurance company come out of Oregon too. We should have our own insurance company and our own banks. And I think that those would be two good things to have for Oregon. Mm-hmm. And for the city.
Yeah, yeah. I know that there is some chatter about creating a state bank. There's folks that have been actually campaigning on that. Could potentially be on the ballot in November.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Doug. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your show. Thank you.
All right. You have a good rest of your day. If other folks want to call in, please. 503-231-8187. What can we do to revitalize Portland's economy? Kim is on the line. Hi, Kim.
I have a question about tiny homes and plumbing and how it connects to the existing plumbing of the house, or what do you know about that?
Well, in my tiny home in every backyard's idea, the plumbing would be separate, because these homes would be totally standalone homes. They're just to generate revenue for the homeowners and to provide affordable housing options.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of plumbing do tiny homes have?
You know, I am not a tiny home plumbing expert.
Lenita's more of a tiny home advocate than a tiny home expert, but if there are tiny home experts out there who have something to say about the plumbing, you're welcome to call. We'd love to hear it. 503-231-8187. No, because you're asking a good question.
Yeah,
you know,
those infrastructure questions are very valid questions.
Yeah, there's a practicality,
you know,
to that.
There's the electricity. You have to set up their own electricity. Mm-hmm. You have to create another address form so they get their mail. Mm-hmm. And some people who I got helped massage this idea of mine, you have to provide your residents with parking.
Mm.
So there is some structural changes. Kim was right. There's some structural changes that goes along with having a tiny home.
Right.
But if you had a city hall that supported the idea, they can ease the way with,
right, because there's
permits.
All those permitting issues, and it was a couple of years ago now that I don't remember if it was the city or the county, I mean like these zoning restrictions
eased up. City for zoning,
they eased up somewhat to be able to have people build more density, more townhome type of thing, mother-in-law units, which is like building on top of your garage, for example. But that the parking component is kind of a tricky one, but at the same time, you know, because they're like, oh, we'll open this all up and people can start pursuing it, or they could redevelop a lot into like sort of a home, like sort of community village or something like that, those things are now legal, which is great, but there's still so much between I like the idea and I've made it happen, and now there's
the implementation. The devil's in the details.
Yeah, totally. And our permitting system in this city is famously obtuse.
Slow,
sure.
Slow,
that's maybe a nicer way of putting it.
Right. and it is. It's opaque. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
That's why my tiny home in every backyard campaign, which failed, by the way, because I didn't get elected.
Well,
I would have stripped all that away to make it easier for people.
Mm-hmm.
And city made it purposely to benefit large developers. I'm looking at small is beautiful concept, where the tiny home in every backyard help revitalize Portland. And that was the initial question.
Yes.
What can we do to revitalize Portland? one idea I had, again, tiny home.
And tiny homes.
Backyard.
We need other ideas, too. 503-231-8187.
I wanted to create an apprenticeship program where people learn to build these tiny homes. Mm-hmm. And that would create a bunch of different jobs.
Right.
So it's that kind of creativity that's missing.
Right.
You know, everyone wants to, oh, let's give a tax break to large corporations. Uh-uh, that doesn't work. All it does is help the shareholders and large corporations. When they get that tax cut, what do? The first thing they do is they cut the labor. Look what's going on. All these
Lots of layoffs. Record profits, record layoffs.
Right. That doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, and because you and I were discussing this yesterday, that when, you know, more support of the supportive tax system, I don't know what I'm saying, but like when it does go to lower and middle income people, like you were saying yesterday.
When money goes to lower income people and middle class people, they spend that money in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They don't buy shares back from their companies.
Right.
They spend it in the communities. They would spend it on building a tiny home.
Right, building a tiny home, hiring a local contractor.
Right, hiring a local, taking care of their plumbing issues.
Taking their contractor out to lunch at a local sandwich shop.
Buying coffee from a local coffee place.
Yeah.
Those are the things that if you give money to lower income people, you give money to middle class people, the money flows in the community.
Right. Well, we have another caller on the line. Aaron, you're on the air. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Good, good. Thank you for calling. What do you think about this?
So the tiny home thing, I think it's hilarious. But, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And I think the bigger issue that I'm not originally from here. I moved up here for employment. And I think the bigger issue that I see in Portland is the drug crisis. Maybe if we should put more funding toward trying to help people get off drugs and stay off drugs and mitigating them from getting on drugs in the first place. And we probably, I say we, but maybe Portland wouldn't have as vast of a drug epidemic if there was more education and more opportunities for employment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people aren't homeless because they're drug addicts. They become homeless because of their addiction. Like, you know, there's not a lot of people out there who are just, you know, homeowners who have room and property to put a tiny house in their backyard who are drug addicts, because drug addicts are, you know, they lapse in their responsiveness to responsibilities and just bad things start to happen. So I think my thing is put more emphasis on education and getting people off drugs.
Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate the input. You have a good rest of your day.
You know, that caller brought up a good point.
Hmm.
I mean, all the callers brought up a good point. But there's something about living in Portland, Oregon, that depresses the heck out of you.
Right.
And it's not the rain. And the gentleman talked about the lack of opportunities.
Right.
That you can have social drift downward.
Hmm.
And to help deal with that, you want to get high.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who are in the alcohol and drug rehabilitation community that says there's no treatment on demand.
Right.
Because they make you go through a bunch of hoops.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not enough services.
Not even a little bit.
And then there's a whole mental health crisis. Again, Ronald Reagan destroyed America when he emptied the institutions without the appropriate revenue to support people once they entered community care.
Right. And that's part of what, you know, Measure 110 funds are building now, is that Oregon's mental health, behavioral health, and drug addiction treatment was like some of the worst in the nation. And so there was a huge gap to make up and to try to build this continuum of care, which is just something that doesn't exist. And if it did exist, you know, that there's an appetite for it. There's a huge demand for it. It's just something that doesn't exist. So you do, you know, encounter.
Yeah, but we had that in Portland. We had that in Portland. There used to be vans driving around downtown that if they saw someone incapacitated laying down, they would pick that individual up and take them to treatment.
Mm.
That doesn't exist anymore. And that seems really clear. Well, if you have these people sleeping downtown and they're intoxicated, why don't we pick them up, take them somewhere and offer them treatment. That's what the gentleman has said.
Right.
And Portland, there's no hope here. If you have no internal hope here, Portland will wear you down because it's all an illusion.
Hmm.
It's an illusion that everything is okay.
Yeah.
But it's not. And the one thing I got to give to the homeless community, the houseless community, is sort of shredded that illusion.
Right. Well,
so no,
yeah.
You can't say everything is okay. Because, hey, look at Jim and Jane over here. They're sleeping on the street. They're defecating on the street.
Right. Well, we have Joe who called in. Hi, Joe. You're on the air. How you doing?
Hey. Every time I call in, I get a little disoriented. And
yeah, sorry. The delay kind of messes with us. But what do you think about revitalizing Portland?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. If you got your radio going, I'd recommend turning it down so you can, because we got a little bit of a delay, you know, a little bit of radio magic for you. What do you think about revitalizing Portland's economy?
Yeah. Well, it's just it's hard for me to follow the threads of all of the different threads.
That's okay. You're welcome to change gears if you want.
Yeah, no, I lose my train of thought. I do want to point out a couple of things as far as the bill. Someone brought up public banking, which was, there was a show on the air about that yesterday.
There was.
That I listened to. Did you know about that, Althea?
I did know about that. I saw it on the schedule.
Have you listened to it?
I haven't listened to it, but I have looked into the issue a little bit. I've talked to some of the people who are involved. What do you think of that show?
I highly, highly recommend listening to it. One of the important points that was brought up, here's the thing. All of these are fantastic ideas. The problem is that the ruling class shoots them down, blocks them, corrupts them, twists them, modifies them, perverts them, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard from people who lived in Kotek's neighborhood when she was campaigning for governor, you know, despite being, I mean, you can't count on people's demographics anymore to determine their politics. So despite that she's, you know, a lesbian woman married to another woman, doesn't make it, she's actually not progressive. She's actually pretty centrist.
Mm-hmm.
She vetoed House Bill 3763, which was for, guess what? Public banking.
Mm.
Creating a statewide public bank. She vetoed it.
Yeah.
It passed the House, it passed the Senate, and she knocked it down.
Yeah.
Now there's been something else going through the legislature. You know, we have the campaign finance reform. Well, what's the number one thing, you know, what's his name? Duncan, guy in the Oregon Global Warming Commission years ago was saying, you know, when asked what's the number one thing we can do to stop climate change, get money out of politics was his answer.
Yeah. It's a valid answer to that.
It's the correct answer. The fossil fuel, you know, people have been trying 100 years ago. The fossil fuel industry is completely in bed with the real estate industry, which is the reason why you have these brand spanking new so-called affordable housing units built in 2019, 5 years ago, with south-facing windows, which is, you know, toward the sun, right? We're in the northern hemisphere. You get that hot summer sun coming in your window, your apartment's going to get really hot. Now, it's a really stupid, simple pocket change thing to put overhangs over the windows so that they block the sun during the hottest month and they let it in the rest of the year. Right? I mean, do you know about that?
No, I'm listening. Keep going.
It's a basic design principle, and you'll see that more with older homes. But these new apartment buildings don't have them. And I've talked to people who live in them, and, you know, I was looking at moving into them, and I've looked on reviews and everything, and everyone in all these different brand new, quote unquote, affordable housing units. That's what, you know, and I look at the some being built with Portland Clean Energy Fund. I don't know if they're going to have any overhangs either. And it's like, so you have to spend always all this money, you know, and they're not triple pane windows, and the insulation's crap. And it's because the fossil fuel companies and the real estate companies are completely in bed together. Mm-hmm. They're on each other's boards of directors, literally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm talking about the people at the very top.
Yeah.
And so they send their armies of lobbyists and lawyers to fight ferociously against any sort of legislation that would, you know, that would reduce people's utility bills, lower the spending, and keep more money in people's pockets,
mm-hmm.
so they could, hey-o, go spend it on their local food truck.
Right, right.
Like, you know, so it's not that people are not doing good. I get into arguments with my mother about this all the time. You know, she's like, just remember, you know, there's a lot of good people doing good work. And I'm like, yes, Mom, but we're constantly outmaneuvered by the tiny percentage of people who have gotten themselves into these crazy positions of power over everyone else. And, you know, so the public banking bill, that was shot down. Now we have campaign finance reform. Now that's already on the ballot, and they've heard people are collecting signatures. You know, it's been like a 10-year-long thing, right, honestelections.org,
right.
Campaign finance reform. They're collecting signatures to get that on the ballot, and now, guess what? Oregon legislature is like, well, we better pass our own watered-down version of it so that voters don't have any reason to vote, you know, this other stronger version. So now the Oregon legislature in their short session is looking at passing a weak version of campaign finance reform.
Right.
You know, you have Portland Clean Energy Fund, Portland Business Alliance, now the Portland Metro Chamber, was fighting tooth and nail against it. And they trashed it after it got passed. It's like, yeah, it was, you know, you start any new business, like you start a restaurant, it typically takes, I mean, this used to be true, I don't know what's true anymore, but, you know, you start any startup, it takes several years to mature, right?
Yeah, like, it does.
Like, I mean, and so, you know, any new venture, any new project, any new policy, any new program, it's going to take a little while.
That patience, you know? That patience is key. We've been talking about it. But anyway, Joe, I'm going to have to cut it off there.
Yeah.
But I do really appreciate your input here. I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and also one other thing, the majority of real estate has gotten snatched up during the pandemic. The majority of downtown office buildings
mm-hmm.
are owned by three real estate companies. That's why they're sitting empty, because they bought them all up, and they're happy. They'd prefer to let them sit empty and be unaffordable. They jacked up the rent. So
yeah.
All of this stuff that you and I read in Willamette Week, which, by the way, has close ties to the Portland Business Alliance, Oregonian, et cetera, all of this, almost all, this is the reason why I listen to KBOO, because it's one of the few truly independent news media sources. So please, 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 Althea, try to be a little bit more, for lack of a better term, paranoid about what you're hearing. I've kind of been bothered in the past when I've heard you say repeat points that I hear, you know, read in the Portland Business Alliance controlled Willamette Week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Portland is a Schmidt show.
Right. Well, I mean... Let the record show that I mostly think that that's funny rather than I agree with it. But, you know, point taken. I appreciate the feedback. Let me restate for the people what we are doing. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. I am Althea. I am joined by guest host Lenita Duke. We're talking about revitalizing Portland's economy. And wouldn't you know it, all of our political issues are tied up together, and they relate to each other, you know, and coming up with strategies to revitalize the city that we care about is a complicated matter indeed. Lenita, please.
But is it worth it? You know, and I think it is.
Yeah.
It's worth solving these issues. We started talking about the Albina Trust.
Yeah.
And what created the Albina Trust was the fact that the city of Portland, Portland Public Schools, all these real estate agents, banks, they helped gentrify North Northeast Portland.
Yep.
They brought in a freeway that demolished all those homes, gave them little or no money.
Yep.
And now a billionaire, the guy that runs Nike, what's his name?
Phil Knight.
Gave the Albina Trust a bunch of money, saying what we did was wrong. Let's try to ameliorate it.
Right.
And in summary, the Portland Public Schools in a raggedy building, they came up with a solution that they're going to give the building to the Albina Trust to create affordable housing, and they're going, and the Albina Trust is going to help them find another location. Right.
Yeah.
And my retort to that is that the Portland Public Schools, they own a bunch of property. They can easily create another location.
Yeah.
And given all these new budget cuts, they won't be heavy on administration anyway, right?
Right. Well, in the, you know,
they got a new superintendent who knew he was looking for another job when he forced the teachers to have a strike. That was the most unnecessary strike.
Mm-hmm.
Hurting our children, hurting families.
Mm.
They could have easily given that money to the teachers.
Yeah.
And he knew that because he had found another job.
Making some interesting points here. I want to, we have just a minute or so left.
Oh, we're out of time.
We're out of time. We're out of time. We made it through. We are wishing Tammy that she feels better, our, my usual co-host. I'm thanking you, Lenita, for being here. If folks want to tune into your fantastic award-winning work, LTAR, Let's Talk About Race. It's an internationally syndicated show produced here in Portland. It is on Mondays at 7 o'clock. Check it out. I help out on it. If you know Cecil from the Monday Talk Radio show, Cecil is on a wonderful set of panelists talking about important issues. Also, KBOO's All Thrills No Frills Volume 3 Soul and R&B Marathon starts at noon tomorrow. So tune in, get excited, support the radio station. Any last words from you, Lenita, before we...
Just thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to
And every day and every way, we hope you agitate for social change.
There we go. Let's hit it.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio invites you to participate in a celebration of our dear, precious, and incomparable animal besties. During the week of February 19th and February 23rd,